It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery's show live on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. You can follow me on my personal Twitter page at JMCH316. Day-Day is at DDLewis for real. This is your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So this is an interesting article. Bleacher Report, and this is Christopher Knox that wrote this article. Christopher Knox goes in and regrades the biggest trades and free agent signings of this past season. So basically, after all the dust is settled, the smoke is cleared, and everything, he goes back in and regrades everything, okay? So, for instance, the Panthers trade up to the number one pick in the draft, okay? He gives the Bears an A-plus and the Panthers an A in that. Rams trade Jalen Ramsey to Miami. He gives the Rams a D-plus and the Dolphins an A. Cowboys trade for Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. He gives the Colts a C and the Cowboys a B-plus and the Texans a C. Aaron to the Jets. That's a B for the Jets and a C-plus for the Packers and on. Like Javon Hargrave going to the 49ers, B-minus in all this. Then he comes to Jesse Bates signing with the Atlanta Falcons. And what do you think the letter grade he gives on this is?
He probably gave it a A minus now.
C plus.
What? What did he give it the first time?
All right. Well, I don't know. But here's the quote of what they write up. The Atlanta Falcons got in early on free agency action, inking former Bengals safety Jesse Bates to a 4-year, $64 million deal. There's a lot to like about the addition, specifically Bates' potential upside in the system of new defensive coordinator Ryan Nielsen. Bates had 4 interceptions last season to go with 8 passes defended and an opposing passer rating of 76.1 in coverage. Nielsen comes over from the Saints where the deep safeties like Marcus Williams and Marcus May played a featured role. Bates can do the same for Atlanta, though as Davenport noted, he doesn't play what is considered a premium position. Now, here's the quote from, who is this from? This is from Gary Davenport, who wrote the original article in this, okay? Here's what he says. Quote, time and again, we have seen bad teams go wild spending money in free agency in an effort to reverse their fortunes. More often than not, it just doesn't work. Especially when huge money is spent at a non-premium position. Davenport gave the grade originally a C-plus because of the financial value of the deal. On the field and in meeting rooms, though, Bates' experience and leadership will benefit Atlanta's secondary. This is from Jerry Gray. Quote, he's always talking about game planning, doing this, getting guys together, being together. That's critical when you're in the NFL. And, that comes from, you know, Jerry Gray talking about what he was at the OTA. So they say sometimes rebuilding teams have to overpay to improve their rosters. That's what the Falcons did with Bates. Now, again, what did I say? I don't have a problem bringing in a Jesse Bates, but when your highest priced guy is at a non-premium position. And again, the quote we read last night, do the Falcons have enough bells and whistles at premium positions to influence the game? And I'm not even just talking about sacks, right? Because again, we know what sacks are and, you know, how they're looked at and all these different kinds of things and stuff like that, you know, for sacking the quarterback and all that good kind of stuff. And maybe there's somebody who's talked about that. Again, Day-Day, can you pull? Okay, yeah, that's a sign to, when I wave my arm like that, that's a sign to pull up the clip and, you know, does it play or we got to just memorize it and we'll just impersonate the voice or is that how we do it? And Dukes and Bell and Josh Kendall was on with Dukes and Bell and we should have all these drops handy and we should probably have these ready to go because, you know, we like to play the drops of Josh and talking about.
Definitely have a question about the team's pass rush.
Okay, yeah, that was one of them. But
the more you look at the advanced analytics, right, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And
how many sacks is Jesse Bates going to get us? And see, well, I got all kinds of heat for asking that question. When I asked that question on Twitter, okay, I asked a very simple question because I like Jesse Bates as a player, but I asked the question. How many sacks is Jesse Bates going to get us? Oh, well, you know. Oh, that's ridiculous. Is it? Okay. Because, again, you know, maybe we don't value sacks the way some people do, but, you know, maybe.
The more you look at the advanced analytics,
yeah,
the more you see how valuable sacks are.
Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. And that's the thing, is that. When you spend, I think he makes the fourth highest amount AAV for a safety. I think it's the fourth highest amount of safety. And again, he's probably worth that, but it's at a non-premium position. And again, Day-Day, I'll ask the question, you know, how many sacks is Jesse Bates going to give us? Because I don't know, maybe sacks are valuable, maybe they're not, maybe they're overrated. I don't know what the
More you look at the advanced analytics,
yeah,
the more you see how valuable sacks are.
And oh boy, okay, Well, at least everybody agrees that really our pass rush is probably fixed, and you know,
definitely have a question about the team's pass rush.
What? What? Excuse me.
Definitely have a question about the team's pass rush.
Oh boy. Okay. I think it's a fair grade. I think he's a good player, but it's not at a premium position. And you can miss me with the whole idea of coverage sacks. Brother, you either get to the quarterback or you don't. This is not, again, I've explained this so much, it makes steam come out of my ears. It's not 1978, folks. There's not three guys or two guys running around that you have to cover. You've got four, five, six guys running all over the field at all times, with all kinds of speed. Somebody's going to be open on the football field if you can't get to the quarterback. If you cannot get to the quarterback, every quarterback in the league, we've seen bums that can pick this team apart. Why? Because if you can't get to the quarterback and you allow even the bums of the league, they can pick you apart.
The more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
Oh, gosh. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. Hopefully our pass rush is fixed. I mean, hopefully it's in pretty
good shape. Definitely have a question about the team's pass rush.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah, I have some similar questions, you know, about it. So, well, listen, hey, the good news is that Yannick Ngakoue, Justin Houston, Melvin Ingram, at least none of those guys are out there for the Falcons to sign. Excuse me? Oh, okay. I'm just saying, you know, we do have $9-10 million worth of salary cap. Let me ask again, Danny. Why would we want somebody that sacks the quarterback? I mean, it's a ridiculous notion. I mean, why would we want somebody that can sack the quarterback in today's NFL? So why?
That's a long story, really.
Why would we want somebody that can sack the quarterback in today's NFL? Play the clip. Data,
Not that.
Why would we want somebody that sacks the quarterback? Why would
the more
we
you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And yeah.
We got to work on Day-Day's comedic timing. We got to work on either that or I got to get. I can play audio from here, right? We got to be able to have those drops on a quicker basis. But anyway, I think it's a fair grade. I think a C+ is a fair grade. He's a really good player, but he's at a non-premium position for this team. I'm not saying for all teams. I'm saying for this team that it's a non-premium position. So we'll see what happens. Now, rookies did report to training camp today. So there will not be any on-field work or anything until the veterans get there. So the veterans are slated to report first part of next week. They'll get in. Obviously, there'll be a lot of meetings and stuff like that. And then Thursday, they will get out on the field and start practicing. And, of course, we will be up there. What is it? What's our what is it? The morning shaft will be there.
Yeah, morning show, steakhouse, yep, and Andy Randy.
Okay, so Dandy Randy and the Chuck House and the morning shaft will all be up there to get ready for everything. So they will carry you, and then Dukes and Bell will have coverage from Hooters up at Mall of Georgia that they're up there. So. Again, we've got exclusive coverage of training camp, so guys will get on the field starting on Thursday. You got to get tickets. You don't have to, it doesn't cost you anything, but I think you can go to AtlantaFalcons.com. Is that what it is? Just AtlantaFalcons.com. You can go on there and find find training camp tickets. Just register online and you can get those and come out and be a part and see all the shows. Are we up there or what?
No.
Huh? What?
No. No. Here.
Oh, where?
Colony Square.
Oh, okay. All right. What? Where? Where?
Here.
Oh.
I mean, everything's over anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I listen, Randy and I have personally been there when practice was over, nobody was there, and they were sucking out the porta-potties. That was, let me tell you, and I can say honestly, that was kind of a nutshell of my radio career to this point when I'm broadcasting on site, nobody there, and the guy is sucking out porta potties. He's sucking out the innards of porta potties, and that's kind of like the foreshadowing, or what do you say? What's the phrase I'm looking for? Just kind of
a telltale.
Yeah, like a telltale of my radio career. So, but anyway, so rookies reported today getting into camp and. It's officially here, right? It's officially here. So veterans will be back out there. I'm sure it'll be a lot of meetings. I'm sure it'll be adjustments, getting set up in the dorms and everything like that. And, life in the NFL, workouts, like lifting weights and all those different kinds of things. But, it's crazy to think that, a week from Thursday is when camp, kind of officially opens up to the public. And you'll have all kinds of folks there. And, it'll be a busy time for the next, about 10 days, 2 weeks, what have you, until we start getting into preseason football. All right, when we come back, we will be joined by Jonathan Williams, covering the Georgia Bulldogs for Dog Daily, as obviously SEC Media Day is front and center with the Georgia Bulldog Day. We'll talk some Georgia football up next with Jonathan. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line to be a part of the show. Well, Georgia was front and center today at SEC Media Days in Nashville. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to Jonathan Williams. He's a writer for Dog Daily. He is up in Nashville covering all things Georgia Bulldogs. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Dr. underscore J Will. Jonathan, as always, appreciate the time, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes on the show. How was Nashville treating you these last couple few days?
Oh, you know, Nashville's beautiful. Just taking in all the scenery, doing some work on the side, and just living it up this week.
So I did think it was interesting that Greg Sankey made the comment about that he was asked about whether or not the SEC title game would, you know, end up in Nashville. And he's like, look, we're laser focused on Atlanta. Why would they not be? Again, that has been nothing but a boom to the biggest city in the South. I mean, it's the mecca of college football. And obviously this has been, you know, historically, you know, the second, third, fourth most important game played in college football on an annual basis. I understand the media days moving around, but I don't think there's any reason to move the SEC title game out of Atlanta.
No, I don't think so either. You know, the SEC, while there has been so much change over the past couple of years, they're very much a conference that is built on tradition. And that conference championship game has been in Atlanta for a very long time. And I think a lot of the teams enjoy that it's in Atlanta because, I mean, it's a hotbed for travel-wise, so travel's easy. It's easy for teams to get there. And then also, I think people just enjoy Mercedes-Benz Stadium in general, you know, a very nice stadium, a very nice venue to host the teams. I know Kirby Smart has mentioned multiple times how much they love making the trip over there. Of course, for him, though, it's only about an hour drive or so. But even then, it's just a very nice venue. I think the coaches and the players love it. So I just don't see that there would be any need to move it out of there.
Jonathan, what did you think about the line of questioning toward Kirby Smart today? I mean, obviously, there was a lot of hype and hoopla that was being built up as far as what he was going to be asked. But did any of that deliver at the end of the day?
No, I mean, I actually talked about it with some of my coworkers about how many questions we thought would get asked about, you know, the off the field issues and the speeding tickets and whatnot. And so we were actually kind of surprised that it was under only one question. And I think Kirby Smart did a good job of just answering the question, kind of doing it in a manner where there probably wouldn't be any more follow-up questions. And he didn't hide away from answering the question at all. He gave a very upfront answer. And then I think everybody else just kind of asked the typical business questions of SEC Media Days about the upcoming season and the culture of Athens and what the season outlook is.
And I don't mean this in a bad way or anything like that, but, you know, the media is always looking for storylines, you know, especially at SEC Media Days. I mean, again, Saban and Jimbo Fisher going into last year. And, you know, there's always something that people are pointing to. And I did think it was just interesting. I mean, you think it's because Kirby already kind of addressed this here recently with media in Athens? Do you think that people thought they wouldn't get any different answer? I mean, I am just a little bit surprised that there wasn't a little bit more of a different tone and tenor toward a coach who, while he's had massive success, look, let's face it, this has not been a very good offseason for Georgia. I mean, that the off-the-field stuff has been front and center with this program. Why do you think that there wasn't a tougher line of questioning for Coach Kirby Smart?
Yeah, I think it does partly have to do with the fact that they did kind of get ahead of this before they came up to Nashville. You know, they wrote out a 9-page letter to the AJC, and they took care of business there. And they've kind of – seems like they wanted to go ahead and put that behind them and let them know that they've taken action already. And so that also gave people time to kind of digest the situation a little bit and maybe also time for their questions not to be so eager about what's going on. But then also, too, it's a big topic is the fact that they are coming off of two national titles. And so people want to know, what is Kirby Smart's mantra for the season, which we got that answered today. And then also, what is kind of the mindset of the team? What is the outlook of the season? How are they feeling going into this year? How is Kirby Smart feeling his squad is going to be prepared to take on the schedule and whatnot? So I think people maybe would rather ask questions about the upcoming season because, you know, a lot of these guys, this is the only time that they may see Kirby Smart this year, and they'd rather ask those questions about the season as opposed to a question that's kind of just in current events.
Jonathan Williams on the WadeFord.com hotline, writer for Dog Daily. I did think one of the interesting things is, you know, he was talking a little bit about complacency and stuff like that. And this is kind of my theory about that, if you bear with me for just, you know, a second here. You know, we have seen teams that have repeated, and there are writers and people alive that have covered repeat champions, okay? But you basically are dead if you covered the 1930 Minnesota Gophers. I mean, there's probably not a player alive that's on that roster or what have you. I mean, so the idea of three-peating, that's almost like a far concept to even think about. We've seen repeating in college football, but certainly nothing to the level of three-peating. I definitely think, while they're not complacent, but I definitely think that nobody is expecting, even less than repeating, I definitely think that nobody's expecting the idea of three-peating for a national championship.
Yeah, and especially when just the current times of college football, you know, the introduction of NIL, that's changing, and recruiting has changed a good bit with that. And also the fact that if Georgia and Kirby Smart were to three-peat this year, they would be doing it before the college football playoff expansion of 12 teams. And then they would also be doing it in the college football playoff era. I mean, they were the first team to repeat as champions in the college football playoff era. So to then three-peat doing that and then doing it before they expanded to 12 teams, I mean, that'd be a huge deal. It'd be huge for the program, and it'd be a huge momentum boost for them, because once they go to 12 teams, you already know that Georgia is going to be in the playoffs every single year. Georgia will always be a top 12 team with Kirby Smart as its head coach. So, but just to do it in the 14 format, if you were to win three straight national titles, I mean, geez, you couldn't ever say anything about Kirby Smart or Georgia ever again.
You know, I was at SEC Media Days here in Atlanta last year and got a chance to talk to Kirby, and we talked to Nolan Smith and Stetson Bennett, and, you know, had a chance to interview all of those guys. And, you know, again, it does feel like a different kind of team. What did you make of what Cedric Van Pran and some of these other guys, what did you make of what they had to say, as, you know, again, they're now looking at potentially trying to find themselves in a three-peat championship? But I don't know that there was sort of the, how do I say, star power, maybe, you know, that you've had over the last, you know, year or two. But what'd you make of what those guys had to say today?
Well, I think it was very unique, the three people that he brought. You know, Cedric Van Pran has always been a very vocal leader in that room. He was a guy that was a very big presence, a part of that team last year. And so for him to come back, that's a huge deal for him to be there, but also a good decision by Kirby Smart to have that business-type guy that knows how to talk to the media, and he's always going to give you a good answer. I really like Cedric Van Pran. But then also Kamari Lassiter, who the media really hasn't had much access to during his time at Georgia, but another guy that's going to be returning on that defense, and a guy that spoke very highly of what Georgia's trying to do. And they kept just, you know, giving the same things. What Kirby Smart said, those players were saying the same thing about complacency. That's what we're trying to avoid. And those are the things that we're focused on. We're focused on what's ahead of us. We're not focused on what's behind us. And then, of course, Brock Bowers, who is the biggest star of the show, but he's not going to give you much in those interviews. I kind of always think that he reminds me a lot of how Nick Chubb was in the media. Like, obviously uber talented, but you would never know by speaking to him. And he's just going to sit there and do his business.
Yeah, and it is funny because, again, you know, he's the best player at his position in college football, and I don't think that's even a debate, and obviously going to be a high first-round pick. But to your point, you don't get much out of Brock Bowers, right? And that's kind of again, there were some of those personalities. You know, again, I had a chance to sit down with Nolan Smith. I mean, he's a bigger-than-life personality, right? And he's a leader in every kind of way, but he's got a lot of personality to him. And even Stetson Bennett, for all the things about him, you know, he's a guy that when you sit next to him, he does exude that air of confidence, you know, about what he's done. Brock Bowers is a very kind of humble guy. I mean, you're not going to get really much in the way out of him. He just goes out there and just dominates on the football field and kind of just does his job.
No, yeah, I don't even know if Brock Bowers understands how good he is himself. I think that's just kind of the way he acts. And I think maybe part of the reason why Kirby Smart decided to bring him up here is it's like, dude, for the rest of your life, you're going to have a camera in front of your face. You're going to be a franchise player for the foreseeable future of your football career. So might as well get used to it now, work those kinks out. We got to get you better there. So maybe that's what it kind of one of the reasons that led him being brought up to Nashville.
So as we start to head toward the season, you know, is it a matter of Carson Beck would have to lose this job, or could somebody beat him out?
The feel I get around the quarterback situation is that it's Carson Beck's job at this point. I think it would more so have to be he lost the job maybe in the season, but I just don't see that happening. I think what he showed in the spring game and even what he showed during the 2022 season, he just showed a guy that has shown tremendous growth over his career. He looks ready to take over that position. I thought he threw the ball around the field during the spring game extremely well, and he just looks like he's ready to take on that role of being not only a starting quarterback at the college level, but to lead the number one team in college football and lead them into the college football playoff and to a national title. So I think at this point, it seems like Carson Beck is just locked into that spot, but maybe something in that season could happen for him to lose a job. But that's the only way I would see him getting on bench from that spot.
What's going to be the biggest battle as we head toward camp? I mean, what's going to be the position that you're really looking out for and to see what kind of battle for the starting spot we get?
Well, I would definitely say the second cornerback spot. You know, who's going to be beside Kamari Lasser? It's kind of been a discussion over the past couple of seasons. You know, it was who's going to be beside Kelee Ringo, and then before that it was who's going to be beside Darren Kendrick. And so now you have who's going to be beside Kamari Lasser. They got a lot of good guys in the name. You got A.J. Harris, Nylon Green, and a lot of dudes in that room that could be competing for that spot, and I don't think that they've settled down on a name just yet. So I think that's one to look for. But then also another position I think going into fall camp that has some questions around it would be the interior defensive line. You have Nazir Stackhouse, but you also lost Jalen Carter. And for the past couple of seasons, you haven't had to deal with that. You lost Jordan Davis and you lost Devontae Wyatt, but you also had Jalen Carter waiting right behind them. This year, you don't exactly have a first-round pick yet waiting to fill in those shoes of the interior defensive line starter. So they have some really talented guys at that spot. Like I said, in Nazir Stackhouse, it looks to be the guy that's going to fill the role to begin with. But it's a matter of can they deliver and can they live up to those expectations and can they maybe transition themselves and formulate themselves into a first-rounder.
So what's the number one strength that when if you look at everything on paper, I mean, you know, tight end room probably number one strength, but what's the other position that you think is the most dominating spot for Georgia?
I would probably have to say offensive line just because you return a lot. You know, you have Cedric Van Prane, who I mentioned earlier, and then you get Tate Ratledge. You have Xavier Trust. You have some continuity there. And then you are going to bring in two new tackles, but Amarius Mims is at this point a veteran in that room. And he's been waiting his turn, and he is going to be ready for that spot. And then it's a matter of who's going to play left tackle, Ernest Green. Is he ready? That's the question there. So, even with those questions, that room is so freaking talented, and they have been so good over the past couple of years. Probably should have won the Joe Moore Award last year, but they didn't. They gave it to Michigan. But that room has been good, and they're going to be really good this year. And I think that's another reason why so many are expecting Carson Beck to be so productive and so good this season.
Yeah, and he's got some skill position people around him as well. So Jonathan Williams is a writer for Dog Daily. Check out all of his work, and you can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @Dr_JWill. And he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Jonathan, appreciate the time. As always, enjoy the are you going to stay up there, or are you headed back from SEC Media Days? Are you going to take in the entire event?
Oh, no. We'll be here till Thursday, and then once the last round of coaches come through on Thursday, we'll be heading on home. So we're sticking it out here.
All right. Good, good, good. So appreciate the time, Jonathan. We'll talk to you again here soon.
All right, man. Sounds good. Thank you.
When we get back, it will be a quick What's Bugging Chuck, because we're going to hear from Kirby Smart, who was on with Andy and Randy. Had a little bit of fun with the midday guys on the show today. So we'll do a quick What's Bugging Chuckery, and then we'll get right into the Kirby Smart interview. Chuckery here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. Been a very strange Braves game here. Braves are down 8-6 right now, and obviously plenty of runs that are being scored here in this game, but it's been kind of a wild, woolly game, and obviously Bryce Elder has not pitched very well here. And by the way, we're only in the bottom of the fourth inning. So 14 runs have been scored, and we're not even halfway through the game at this point. Crazy. But, yeah, it's Pilar doubled, and then Pilar had a double. Arcia got on base, and He singled, and then Pilar doubled. That scored Arcia, so now it is 8-6 right now. Bryce Elder, 2 2/3, seven runs, five of them earned, four strikeouts, and a walk. So in his last two starts, he's pitched exactly six innings and given up 12 earned runs. Six innings and 12 earned runs. And he's given up three homers. Three homers, six innings, 12 earned runs. Is that good? Is that
not at all?
Not? Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. So Tom Tonkin is in. He's already given up a run. Kind of is what it is at this point. So, again, Bo, for all of the negativity and all the hoopla, it's still a two-run game, which is nothing for the Braves. That's a swing of the bat, and they have the lead. So it's not really a big deal at this point. But, again, and by the way, it's not getting late. It's only the bottom of the fourth. So it's not like it's late, but 14 runs through not even four complete innings. That's kind of crazy. So, again, Diamondbacks are, you know, probably got to have about six more runs before they feel like they're comfortable in winning a game like this. All right, we're going to play Kirby Smart here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, let's get into a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So a bankruptcy judge has approved Diamond Sports Groups, and that's Bally, right? Request to shed its contract with the Arizona Diamondbacks, prompting Major League Baseball to step in, beginning with the team's game against the Braves on Tuesday. So this has already happened in San Diego at the end of May. MLB will make D-backs games available blackout-free through its streaming services, MLB.tv, and will provide a linear cable option on different channels through Cox, DirecTV, Spectrum, Comcast, Infinity. Now, again, we knew this was coming because the company that owns Bally and all that, Diamond Sports Group, couldn't pay their bills. Even though they got, you know, the TV rights fees and all that kind of stuff to, again, they should be making money, but no. A spokesman for Diamond Sports said it's in contact with the Diamondbacks, a reported 20-year, $1.5 billion deal that began in 2015, had financial terms that were not aligned with long-term plans. Now, MLB stated that D-backs can reach, with the lifting the blackouts, they can go from 930,000 to 5.6 million homes in the television territory. Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, fans can pay $19.99 a month or $54.99 for the rest of the season to stream D-backs games. The next six games through Sunday will be provided for free through the team's official website and the MLB app. Can I ask a question? Why on God's green earth would you pay $20 a month to watch the Diamondbacks play? And you pay $1 million a month in cable, right? Because this is all about, you know, the people still with cords and cuts and all this kind of stuff. Let me ask you a question. If you had to pay your cable bill and then the $55 to watch the Braves the rest of the season, would you do that?
No.
If you're still paying your cable bill?
No.
Why would anybody? And again, the D-backs are fading now. It was a really good first half run, but now they've lost four in a row. They're in third place. Why would anybody pay $55 to watch them the rest of the year on some streaming service? Like, I don't know if you can sit down in your living room, you know, and pet your Cocker Spaniel, you know, to watch Diamondbacks baseball for $55. Like, I wouldn't pay that. I wouldn't pay $55, but look at this. You know, again, that's Sean Murphy. All right, so
Austin.
Austin. So yeah. Austin Riley hits a 3-run homer, and the Braves have the lead. Just like that. Did we just not say one swing of the bat?
One swing of the bat.
Okay. And the Braves have the lead, huh? Did I just call that play?
You did.
See, I can't even get hot takey and not be wrong. But I can't try to go hot takey on something, and I'm still right. But anyway, they'll use the same broadcasters that are broadcasting the game now. Steve, I don't know what the guy's name, Bethamu or whatever, and Bob Brenly. This is a mess for baseball. It really is. Like, this is a mess for baseball. Because there's going to be more of these organizations that are going to lose their TV deal with Diamond Sports. And this is going to be a mess that they have to try to clean up. And for all the goodwill and everything about baseball right now, like, they probably don't need this. They don't need to be in the middle of all this kind of nonstop. So, Diamond Sports Group, the Sinclair subsidiary that operates under the name Bally Sports, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on March 14th and has shed since two of its 14 Major League teams. By the way, you know the Braves are one of those 14 Major League teams. So, let me ask you, audience, would you pay $54.99 to watch the Braves or $20 a month? Like, whew. I don't know about all of that stuff, but, you know, again, this is a mess for Major League Baseball that they're facing. And by the way, Braves, their TV numbers are way up. Like, their TV numbers are really good this year. They've been way up, and obviously they're headed toward a sixth divisional title, probably the World Series. It's going to be a long playoff run for the Braves, unlike the Diamondbacks. But, again, you know, this is a mess for baseball that they're having to fix. And, obviously, it would suck if the Braves suddenly left Bally. It would suck to have to try to find the Braves on digital platforms and streaming and FUBUs and everything else that is along with it. All right, Kirby Smart joined the Midday guys, Andy and Randy, earlier today as obviously SEC Media Days rolling right along. We will talk to Chris Goforth coming up here at the top of the hour, get his thoughts about what has been going on in Nashville as he is up there covering everything for us. But Kirby Smart joined Andy and Randy earlier this morning, and the first question that the guys asked him was, is there still any food on the floor to feed this year's team?
Oh, there's plenty of food on the floor. You know how it is around here, man. You can always go find a scrap or a wing. The issue is when you stop trying to get the food off the floor, you got no chance.
Do you? Because, look, I know that's the mentality, and it has to be, obviously. Forward, 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 now, now, now. But, like, do you ever allow yourself a moment to take a step back from that grind and think about what you've done? Because what you've done over the last couple of years is special.
Not really, because the minute you do that, somebody's catching up with you. I can promise you that. If you're sitting still, you will get run over on the train tracks, and we're not going to be sitting still. So we're trying to move it forward, keep new energy. I'm excited about Coach Bobo with the offense. Yeah. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's pissed off, and we got a good unit coming back. And I'm excited to find out who this quarterback's going to be.
That's going to be my next question, Kirby, because obviously, you know, what you say about the schedule, come play it then. So I know a lot of people want to put that out there and everything, but when you look at your quarterback position, losing a guy like Stetson and playing so much football, and I'm talking about Kirby, big game football, what are some of the things that you've seen from your quarterbacks right now as far as the leadership and those type of things that make this decision kind of hard to make who's going to be your quarterback?
Yeah, they hadn't been in those situations. That's the million-dollar question, you know, for us. It's like, who in the hell is going to replace that guy? I mean, that guy was the dude in the fourth quarter. That dude came through, made plays, and it helped us win a championship. And we got to find somebody to replace him. I hope that they don't have to play perfect. I want it to be a guy that can learn and make mistakes and, you know, play behind, whether it's the defense or the wideouts or the tight ends, whatever position group can help him, that he uses them to help him. But that's always the case in the quarterback position, is don't mess it up and don't lose the game for us and be ready to win it in the fourth.
I know we don't know who it's going to be yet, but from a physical standpoint, what's going to be the biggest difference not having Stetson Bennett at quarterback and having one of those other guys in there?
Well, experience. Randy just mentioned it, right? Like, the biggest difference is experience and probably his athleticism. But all those quarterbacks are smart, and all those quarterbacks are good athletes. None of them are going to probably run a 4-5 like Stetson did, and none of them have the experience that he had. So that was – something that we brag on now, but, you know, 3 years ago, nobody knew who Stetson Bennett was.
Kirby, your defense, I mean, you know, that's your calling card, all those different things, and you just keep losing guys off, but yet you keep replacing them, Kirby. What is it about this defense? You know, I know it's a scheme and all that, but I'm talking about the athletes that you have on there that make this defense, no matter who's out there, go out there and hunt the way they do.
Yeah, we've been fortunate to recruit really good athletes. You know our recruiting base, Randy, and how good it is. Right. It's great players around our state. We go sign good players and say, you know what, we'll find a spot for you. If you can run and you'll hit, we will find a spot for you. And a lot of our guys grow up in the ranks that freshman year, kind of like a third down specialist or a special team specialist. So when they get the opportunity to come out and play, they've already played some, and they've proven it. And if you recruit good, talented players and put them in the right space, you're going to be good. And I think, you know, between Muschamp and Schumann, they've been elite at scheming up people and putting defensive guys in the right spot to hold opponents. To, you know, it's hard to play defense nowadays. These teams will go around and score 30, 40 points. We've been really fortunate to slow people down, at least in the regular season. We haven't played the way we're capable of in the playoffs always.
Georgia head coach Kirby Smart joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Kirby, is Brock Bowers the best tight end in Georgia football history?
Hey.
Oh, man. That is a sensitive subject on this radio show.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'll say this. I'll say this. Randy might have the best hands of anybody I've ever seen, most acrobatic catches. But if they get in a foot race, I'm taking Brock every single time.
Okay.
That's a win, Randy.
Okay,
win.
All right, okay. You should have seen the look on his face, Kirby. That's pretty good.
I might have to go there. I'll go there with Kirby. Now, we found out something earlier, Kirby, that it's 25 years since you led the conference in interceptions. I was there. I saw every one of them. How would Kirby Smart play in the defense that you run today?
I might be okay in our defense because of the bodies we got. Uh-huh. We got these humongous bodies up front. As long as they didn't have Jamal Lewis coming downhill on me, I was going to be fine.
Oh, well, Kirby, you made a good effort on that one play. I thought you had him. I thought you had him, Kirby.
I was a lot better when I had Seymour and Stroud than when I had them little puppies we had up there before that.
Well, that was Coach Kirby Smart as obviously the two-time national championship. And Georgia, look, they're going to be number one in the preseason again. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. Been a very strange Braves game here. Braves are down 8-6 right now, and obviously plenty of runs that are being scored here in this game, but it's been kind of a wild, woolly game, and obviously Bryce Elder has not pitched very well here. And by the way, we're only in the bottom of the fourth inning. So 14 runs have been scored, and we're not even halfway through the game at this point. Crazy. But, it's Pilar doubled, and then Pilar had a double. Arcia got on base, and he singled, and then Pilar doubled. That scored Arcia, so now it is 8-6 right now. Bryce Elder, 2 2/3, 7 runs, 5 of them earned, 4 strikeouts, and a walk. So in his last 2 starts, he's pitched exactly 6 innings and given up 12 earned runs. 6 innings and 12 earned runs. And he's given up 3 homers. 3 homers, 6 innings, 12 earned runs. Is that good? Is that
not at all?
Not okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. So, Tom Tonkin is in. He's already given up a run. kind of is what it is at this point. So again, Bo, for all of the negativity and all the hoopla, it's still a 2-run game, which is nothing for the Braves. That's a swing of the bat, and they have the lead. So it's not really a big deal at this point. But again, and by the way, it's not getting late. It's only the bottom of the fourth. So it's not like it's late, but 14 runs through not even four complete innings. That's kind of crazy. So again, Diamondbacks are, you know, probably got to have about six more runs before they feel like they're comfortable in winning a game like this. All right, we're going to play Kirby Smart here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, let's get into a quick What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So a bankruptcy judge has approved Diamond Sports Groups, and that's Bally, right? Request to shed its contract with the Arizona Diamondbacks, prompting Major League Baseball to step in, beginning with the team's game against the Braves on Tuesday. So this has already happened in San Diego at the end of May. MLB will make D-backs games available blackout-free through its streaming services, MLB.tv, and will provide a linear cable option on different channels through Cox, DirecTV, Spectrum, Comcast Infinity. Now, again, we knew this was coming because the company that owns Bally and all that, Diamond Sports Group, couldn't pay their bills. Even though they got, you know, the TV rights fees and all that kind of stuff to, again, they should be making money, but no. So a spokesman for Diamond Sports said it's in contact with the Diamondbacks, a reported 20-year, $1.5 billion deal that began in 2015, had financial terms that were not aligned with long-term plans. Now, MLB stated the D-backs can reach, with the lifting the blackouts, they can go from 930,000 to 5.6 million homes in the television territory. Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, fans can pay $19.99 a month or $54.99 for the rest of the season to stream D-backs games. The next six games through Sunday will be provided for free through the team's official website and the MLB app. Can I ask a question? Why on God's green earth would you pay $20 a month to watch the Diamondbacks play? And you pay $1 million a month in cable, right? Because this is all about, you know, the people still with cords and cuts and all this kind of stuff. Let me ask you a question. If you had to pay your cable bill and then the $55 to watch the Braves the rest of the season, would you do that?
No.
If you're still paying your cable bill?
No.
Why would anybody? And again, the D-backs are fading now. It was a really good first half run, but now they've lost four in a row. They're in third place. Why would anybody pay $55 to watch them the rest of the year on some streaming service? Like, I don't know if you can sit down in your living room, you know, and pet your Cocker Spaniel, you know, to watch Diamondbacks baseball for $55. Like, I wouldn't pay that. I wouldn't pay $55, but look at this. You know, again, that's Sean Murphy. All right, so
Austin.
Austin. So yeah. Austin Riley hits a three-run homer, and the Braves have the lead. Just like that. Did we just not say one swing of the bat?
One swing of the bat.
Okay. And the Braves have the lead, huh? Did I just call that play?
You did.
See, I can't even get hot takey and not be wrong. But I can't try to go hot takey on something, and I'm still right. But anyway, they'll use the same broadcasters that are broadcasting the game now. Bethamu or whatever, and Bob Brenly. This is a mess for baseball. It really is. Like, this is a mess for baseball because there's going to be more of these organizations that are going to lose their TV deal with Diamond Sports, and this is going to be a mess that they have to try to clean up. And for all the goodwill and everything about baseball right now, like, they probably don't need this. They don't need to be in the middle of all this kind of nonstop. So, Diamond Sports Group, the Sinclair subsidiary that operates under the name Bally Sports, filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on March 14th and has shed since two of its 14 Major League teams. By the way, you know the Braves are one of those 14 Major League teams. So, let me ask you, audience, would you pay $54.99 to watch the Braves or $20 a month? Like, whew. I don't know about all of that stuff, but, you know, again, this is a mess for Major League Baseball that they're facing. And by the way, Braves, their TV numbers are way up. Like, their TV numbers are really good this year. They've been way up, and obviously they're headed toward a sixth divisional title, probably the World Series. It's going to be a long playoff run for the Braves, unlike the Diamondbacks. But, again, you know, this is a mess for baseball that they're having to fix. And, obviously, it would suck if the Braves suddenly left Bally. It would suck to have to try to find the Braves on digital platforms and streaming and FUBUs and everything else that is along with it. All right, Kirby Smart joined the Midday guys, Andy and Randy, earlier today as obviously SEC Media Days rolling right along. We will talk to Chris Goforth coming up here at the top of the hour, get his thoughts about what has been going on in Nashville as he is up there covering everything for us. But Kirby Smart joined Andy and Randy earlier this morning, and the first question the guys asked him was, is there still any food on the floor to feed this year's team?
Oh, there's plenty of food on the floor. You know how it is around here, man. You can always go find a scrap or a wing. The issue is when you stop trying to get the food off the floor, you got no chance.
Do you? Because, look, I know that's the mentality, and it has to be, obviously. Forward, 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 now, now, now. But, like, do you ever allow yourself a moment to take a step back from that grind and think about what you've done? Because what you've done over the last couple of years is special.
Not really, because the minute you do that, somebody's catching up with you. I can promise you that. If you're sitting still, you will get run over on the train tracks, and we're not going to be sitting still. So we're trying to move it forward, keep new energy. I'm excited about Coach Bobo with the offense. Yeah. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's pissed off, and we got a good unit coming back. And I'm excited to find out who this quarterback's going to be.
That's going to be my next question, Kirby, because obviously, you know, what you say about the schedule, come play it then. So I know a lot of people want to put that out there and everything, but when you look at your quarterback position, losing a guy like Stetson, playing so much football, and I'm talking about Kirby, big game football, what are some of the things that you've seen from your quarterbacks right now as far as the leadership and those type of things that make this decision kind of hard to make who's going to be your quarterback?
Yeah, they hadn't been in those situations. That's the million-dollar question, you know, for us. It's like, who in the hell is going to replace that guy? I mean, that guy was the dude in the fourth quarter. That dude came through, made plays, and it helped us win a championship. And we got to find somebody to replace him. I hope that they don't have to play perfect. I want it to be a guy that can learn and make mistakes and, you know, play behind, whether it's the defense or the wideouts or the tight ends, whatever position group can help him, that he uses them to help him. But that's always the case in the quarterback position, is don't mess it up and don't lose the game for us and be ready to win it in the fourth.
I know we don't know who it's going to be yet, but from a physical standpoint, what's going to be the biggest difference not having Stetson Bennett at quarterback and having one of those other guys in there?
Well, experience. Randy just mentioned it, right? Like, the biggest difference is experience and probably his athleticism. But all those quarterbacks are smart and all those quarterbacks are good athletes. None of them are going to probably run a 4.5 like Stetson did, and none of them have the experience that he had. So that was something that we brag on now, but, you know, 3 years ago, nobody knew who Stetson Bennett was.
Kirby, your defense, I mean, you know, that's your your calling card, all those different things, and you just keep losing guys out, but you keep replacing them, Kirby. What is it about this defense? You know, I know it's a scheme and all that, but I'm talking about the athletes that you have on there that make this defense, no matter who's out there, go out there and hunt the way they do.
Yeah, we've been fortunate to recruit really good athletes. You know our recruiting base, Randy, and how good it is. Right. It's great players around our state. We go sign good players and say, you know what, we'll find a spot for you. If you can run and you'll hit, we will find a spot for you. And a lot of our guys grow up in the ranks that freshman year, kind of like a third down specialist or a special team specialist. So when they get the opportunity to come out and play, they've already played some, and they've proven it. And if you recruit good, talented players and put them in the right space, you're going to be good. And I think, you know, between Muschamp and Schumann, they've been elite at scheming up people and putting defensive guys in the right spot to hold opponents. So, you know, it's hard to play defense nowadays. These teams will go around and score 30, 40 points. We've been really fortunate to slow people down, at least in the regular season. We haven't played the way we're capable of in the playoffs always.
Georgia head coach Kirby Smart joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Kirby, is Brock Bowers the best tight end in Georgia football history?
Hey.
Oh, man. That is a sensitive subject on this radio show.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I mean, I'll say this. Randy might have the best hands of anybody I've ever seen, right. Most acrobatic catches. But if they get in a foot race, I'm taking Brock every single time.
Okay.
That's a win, Randy.
Okay.
That's a
win. All right. Okay. You should have seen the look on his face, Kirby. That was pretty good.
I might have to go there. I'll go there with you, Kirby. Now, we found out something earlier, Kirby, that it's 25 years since you led the conference in interceptions. I was there. I saw every one of them. How would Kirby Smart play in the defense that you run today?
I might be okay in our defense because of the bodies we got. Uh-huh. We got these humongous bodies up front. As long as they didn't have Jamal Lewis coming downhill on me, I was going to be fine.
Oh, well, Kirby, you made a good effort on that one play. I thought you had him. I thought you had him, Kirby.
I was a lot better when I had Seymour and Stroud than when I had them little puppies we had up there before that.
Well, that was Coach Kirby Smart as obviously the two-time national championship and Georgia, look, they're going to be number one in the preseason again this year. Be interesting to see the media poll, and I'll ask Goforth about this because I always like the media polls. Not so much that Georgia's not going to be, you know, the favorites, but I wonder how many people will vote Georgia to win the conference over Alabama and who some of the guys may be. I mean, again, Brock Bowers is arguably maybe the best one or two players in the conference. Be curious to see what the all-SEC preseason teams look like as far as Georgia representation. And we'll talk to our buddy Chris Goforth coming up here at the top of the hour. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.